Blog Talk Radio.
Conversation with Miss Tony on Cheryl's World, and I am your host, Miss Tony. Hey, it's so good to hear from you and see you guys today. Excuse me. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. If you want to call in to talk, please give us a call at 646-200-0459. Again, the number is 646-200-0459. If you would like to talk, press 1 to talk. It is still the season of the archer, so arrows up, arrows up. I want to send a happy birthday shout out to Deborah Lofton, to LaStacia Neat, and to R.C. Carter, number 3, the third one. Hey, happy birthday. Also, happy birthday to Craig and them. And Craig is Craig Henry, Ben Shepherd, Effie Roth, and Leah Lanier. That's Craig and them. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, wonderful people. Wow. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Is everybody still full? Are you a little bit lethargic from Thursday? Yeah, I can imagine. All those posts that I saw in my news feed of people with pictures and of different types of plates. Now, y'all know, some of y'all know, y'all wasn't eating healthy. And, yes, I said eating. Y'all weren't eating healthy at all. I saw a chitterlings with some fat back in the middle of it. I said, ooh, they eating. Those folks are eating up a storm right there. But I'm so thankful that everyone is still here on this side of the river to talk and to share with us today. Last night was phenomenal. I need to figure out a way to post from my Instagram, my IG account, to my Facebook account where it posts the different snippets that I took from the Vow concert. That's right, Tracy Stingley and Latrice Stingley. Oh, my word. Those young people are definitely on worship for the Lord. And they believe in complete surrender to God. That's the husband and wife team, Tracy and Latrice. It was a beautiful concert. And guess what? It wasn't his intent to have an offering. It wasn't anything long or drawn out. You know, you gave if you wanted to. Your child, they even had the little swipe machine for you to give to. I just thought everything was classy. Everything was done in the spirit of excellence, and that is something that I know of Tracy and Latrice. So kudos, hats off to you two guys. I loved it. I can't wait to the next one. Let me tell you, they in little intermission parts of the concert, they had exhortations, and they had these various different people to exhort. So it was. It was wonderful. I was just too pleased. I was too pleased. And I know God was glorified in all of that last night. But we roll over to my girlfriend from many years since birth, and her name is Aretha. Hey, Miss Ree, how are you, boo? Love you, honey. I enjoyed myself at your birthday celebration, 45 years in the land of the living. Thank you, God. Yes, it was so good to see you. It was so good to see Priscilla, Miss Pep. Honey, Miss Pep didn't know what to do. She saw me there because, you know, normally I don't travel to such occasions, but I made it a point because I wanted to spend time with my girl and her people. And Miss Rhea, I met her loving beloved, and he seems like they seem so in love, so into each other, and it was a joy and a treat to witness for myself. I even got a nickname, y'all. It's a new nickname. It's called Kool-Aid. I know, right? First is Black Cotton. Now it's Kool-Aid. So I'm going to let Black Cotton stay on my personal page and put Kool-Aid on the page that you all see. Kool-Aid, I should tell you, but nah, I'm not going to tell you what the Kool-Aid means, but that's between him and I. We had Kool-Aid. I'll tell you, Miss Ree, but my name is now Tony, Miss Tony, Kool-Aid, so call me that. great times had by all. I sure did appreciate the invite. Thank you for reaching out, Aretha. I love you very much. Love you too, Pep. God's got this, right? Right. On December 13th, Power Down Friday, that is our great cookie swap. I want you to please bring about a dozen cookies purchased or made to share. This will be such a fun time for all. And fellas, you can come too. Yes, we will have facials, but guess what? We are going to have chair massages by a professional masseuse. Yes, massage therapist, masseuse, massage. Honey, she's going to lay hands on you, and she's going to massage you, and you're going to feel like a brand new person. And that is Michelle N. Johnson. Look her up on Facebook and meet us there at 6:30 at the Daystar Center, 1550 South State Street in Chicago, Illinois, at 6:30 p.m. We will be having the great cookie swap with some facials and the chair massages and other little treats. You just have to come and see. The cost for all of this is just a mere $5 donation. All right? I hope to see you there. Look, it's not too late to sign up. You can still sign up to be part of the She Shines Wellness 10-Day Eating Challenge. Now, you know some of us need to be on a 50-day eating challenge after gorging out on Thursday, right? But I'm not about to go there with y'all on that. So just go to, please visit the She Shines, ooh, this tongue twister, SheShinesWellness.com. That's SheShinesWellness.com. And it's only $19. It's only $19, so just come on by, okay? No, not come on by. Sign up. That's right, sign up. How many people, let me see, how many folks out there was so happy to see a clear news feed and Twitterverse Thursday? I mean, there was no scandal talk, none whatsoever. But I noticed there is much ado about Sunday's Real Housewives of Atlanta treat. Now, while I'm not a fan of Real Housewives of whatever city you can put them in, but I do follow the Candy storyline. Candy and I grew up in the same church reformation, and I'm a family, and I remember her mom. I think you all are going in a little bit too hard on Miss Joyce, Mama Joyce. For the longest time, it was just her and Candy. So kind of relax on that, y'all. I've seen some comments that were just clearly inappropriate. I mean, I understand that you all may have your feelings about what she's done and how she's doing it, la, la, la. But that's still her mother. So give her some respect, okay? Watch your mouth on her. Don't be calling her the B word, the N word, heifer and all this other stuff. She's still a mother, so respect that. So, I mean, really, people. On a side note, who didn't see that whole thing with Phaedra, was her name Phaedra and Apollo? Really? Really, people? No say la moment. Just for real. Their marriage has been in trouble for some time now. Something about him and Kenya meeting up and texting and all this other stuff. I said, you didn't expect that, little girl, the Southern Belle of the South? Mm-mm. Anywho, the little clip I saw, Apollo looked like he was a little deer caught in the headlights, real like, And Phaedra looked as if she was like a cougar, just ready, just waiting for him to slip up, say something stupid. She's just looking, say something stupid. Say something stupid. Squinching her little eyes, being all calculative. So it's my understanding that she will not, she will be in Alabama for this next clip taping because the woman is trying to study become a mortuarian. Yeah, that woman, she's very good when it comes to knowing what's the money maker and all that other stuff. So, yeah, I wish them all the best in all that they do. Let's see. We're going to have 24 Days of Giving. More on that when you visit my page, Miss Tony B True to You. That's Miss Tony, the letter B, T-R-U, the number 2, the letter U. Be true to you. Is that how that's represented? No, B, just plain B. Miss Tony, B, T-R-U, the number 2, the letter U. Just Miss Tony, be true to you. Just be looking out for 24 Days of Giving. Still need to kind of work, tweak on some things, but it'll be posted this evening. I would like to send out some condolences to some people that I know. Well, I don't know these folks. There are some people at Salem, at the church that I attend, that there are 2 funerals there. They were apparently pillars of the church, a deacon and a sister, and I send thoughts of power to both of their families. The choir that I sing with, the sons and daughters of Levi, are singing at both services today. So hats off to my brothers and sisters who are ministering to people in need. I also I mentioned Tracy Stingley earlier, and I just found out that his father passed away when made his transition, and today was the day that they said goodbye to him. Tracy, you are just a phenomenal young man, and you and your mom are in my heart, your family. May peace be your pillow. May comfort be your blanket during this transition time for you guys. If I can be a lending ear for you, you know you can always reach out to me. I love you, and God bless you. So, Mr. Stingley, as you take your journey to the other side, I pour libation to you and your memory. I thank you for everything that you've done, for blessing the world with the awesome man and Tracy, and taking care of your family. And I pour libation to your memory, and I ask everyone to stand with me as I issue a moment of silence for his memory and all those who are now walking with the ancestors.
You and I
Yes, coffee, tea, and conversation with Miss Tony on Cheryl's World. And I am your hostess, Miss Tony. Thank you for tuning in and listening. That was Stevie Wonder and You and I. Such a beautiful and calming song to listen to in these times. I forgot to mention what I'm sipping on. Today I am sipping on chai tea. I wanted Dunkachino, but I am sipping on chai tea instead. I have an affinity for a Dunkachino that is just developed. I don't know what that is. It's almost addictive. So y'all send me thoughts of power, prayer, all that other stuff. Help me out with that. Indeed. But yes, my chai tea. Today's topic. Now, you know, we can go on for more than the time we have allotted today. Marriage equality. According to some reports, Illinois became the 15th state to legalize same-sex marriage, with Hawaii following in behind. And then coming up soon will be New Mexico, Oregon, Michigan, Virginia, Nevada, and on the bubble for 2016 are Colorado, Ohio, Utah, and Pennsylvania. I'd like to see it get passed in Utah. If it can get passed in Utah, the next biggest stronghold, I think, is Texas. But, yeah, call in to go ahead and sound off at 646-200-0459. Again, the number is 646-200-0459. If you want to talk, press the number 1. Now, what is this all hoopla about being same-sex marriage? Everybody knows that marriage is between a man and a woman, right? Right? Are you sure about that? Well, according to the United States Supreme Court, the Defense Against Marriage Act was struck down this year, I believe, and has ruled it to be unconstitutional. So, you know, we have to, it's the law, much like affordable health care, it's the law, and we're going to need to abide by it. There are ways that, you know, if you feel that you weren't represented correctly in the state legislature, you can by all means either run yourself, or you can vote the people out who are in there, who voted against your beliefs and your wishes and desires. And according to my research, I was trying to look for who voted yes and who voted no, and unfortunately that information is not made public or has not been made public yet. So what does that mean? What do they get? Well, they get the gays and lesbians, they get the right to have a marriage. Now, mind you, please be mindful that the name of the law is not marriage equality. The name of the law is the Religious Freedom Marriage Act. Religious Freedom Marriage Act. And in Illinois, representatives Greg Harris, Deborah Mill, Kelly Cassidy, Barbara Flynn Curry, Sarah Feingoltz, Ann Williams, Daniel Bliss, Naomi Jacobson, Cynthia Soto, and Robin Gable are the House sponsors for said bill. This allows or creates the Marriage Religious Freedom and Marriage Fairness Act. It contains provisions regarding purposes, rules of construction, and severability. Excuse me, provides that all laws of this state applicable to marriage apply equally to marriages of same-sex and different-sex couples and their children. parties to a marriage and their children, regardless of whether the marriage is of same sex or a different sex couple, they have the same benefits, protections, and responsibilities under law. Parties to a marriage are included in any definition or use of terms such as spouse, family, immediate family, dependent, next of kin, wife, husband, bride, groom, wedlock, and other terms that refer to, denote, or denote the spousal relationship, as those terms are used throughout the law, regardless of whether the parties to a marriage are of the same sex or different sexes. And to the extent laws of this state adopt, refer to, or reply upon provisions of federal law as applicable to this state, parties to a marriage of the same sex and their children shall be treated under the law of this state as the federal law recognized the marriages of same-sex couples in the same manner as the law of this state. It amends the Illinois Marriage Dissolution Act by making various changes concerning parties who may marry, solemnization, prohibited marriage, jurisdiction, and other matters. It amends the Illinois Religious Freedom Protection and Civil Union Act. It makes various changes and additions regarding recognition of marriages. Authorizes the voluntary conversion of a civil union to a marriage under specified circumstances. And it also says it makes other changes. What does that mean? It's legal, y'all. Get on with it. I feel that I have no position on this at this time. No, but seriously, I know of a gentleman who years ago was in love with a man, was with this man for many, many years, and the man became ill. Okay, and once he became ill, he had cancer and battled cancer for so long with this man. And eventually the man, I'll call him Joe, eventually Joe's lover succumbed to cancer and passed, well, before Joe's lover succumbed to cancer and passed away, Joe's family, right before he passed, at least like maybe 3 weeks or so before he died, came to town, because they're all from Minnesota, came to town here in Chicago and took over all of his personal finances, all of his business dealings, different things like that. And he was barred from ever to speak to his lover or to see his lover ever again. He was not allowed to, Joe was not allowed to see his lover. Even at the time of his passing, he was not even there allowed to the funeral or anything. His family came, took all the money, took Joe to court, took all the money, saying that this relationship was illegal and he didn't have any rights to it, though he helped build it, though he wasn't the brains behind the business, but he was there. He helped build the business. So Joe eventually went back to Minnesota, broke, destitute, no money, no kind of life. He didn't have a will to live anymore. And eventually Joe passed away. But he passed away broke. He passed away rejected. He passed away unfulfilled in his life. all because the man's family came and took everything. Now, you all can say all you want, well, he had to have a will. He did everything. He had a will. He had, rights of ownership, trust, all of that. But the issue was he referred to the man as his spouse. And because he referred to the man as his spouse, then that nullified everything, and the family was able to take it all. I don't know if the business that he created is still in existence, but in our quest for trying to be some type of normalcy, we need to be mindful of the civil rights and the civil duties of other people. Now, I'm not saying that this can be compared to what occurred with the civil rights movement. This is a different movement than the civil rights movement, because no one's getting beaten, no one is being murdered, or for the right to vote, or for the right to be called a human being in the eyes of the law. That's not what this civic rights is about. What this is about is being able to be called a husband and wife. I have a friend of mine who I have been waiting on to call in, and I see he's here. His name is Reverend Rodney Jordan. So I'm going to patch him in right now. Reverend Jordan?
Hey, how are you?
All right, how are you with the deep voice?
I'm doing good.
Good Lord. Welcome to Coffee, Tea, and Conversation with Miss Tony on Cheryl's World. I grew up with Reverend Jordan, and I don't remember that voice being so deep. Lord have mercy. That's I see, Roshannon. Okay, Roshannon. Okay. Mm-hmm. How are you, sweetheart?
I'm doing very well, very well. Thank you so much, I want to say, first of all, for having me on and allow me to be a part of this great conversation that you're having. It's an honor and a pleasure, and I'm happy for you, and I see you're doing great and awesome things.
Oh, thank you, sweetie. Thank you. And, this week is the week of rivalries. You got Alabama versus Auburn and Georgia versus Georgia Tech. And Lord have mercy, you got the Buckeyes against the Wolverines. Who am I supposed to cheer for?
Well, I'm living in Georgia now. I'm going to always be a Wolverine to my heart. Yes, ma'am.
So why don't you go ahead and tell my listening audience who you are, introduce yourself to them so they can become comfortable and acquainted with you. Make sure you got some coffee or some tea, because, this is coffee, tea, and conversation.
I do. Yes, ma'am, I do. My name is Rodney Jordan. I am 32 years old. I'm a minister with the National Convention of the Churches of God Holiness, specifically at Mount Olive, which is in College Park, Georgia. I am a secondary teacher of history as well as a collegiate teacher as well for U.S. history and GED prep at George Piedmont Technical College. And I just became married in April. I'm a newlywed, and I'm just trying to do some things, career wise and ministry wise, and trying to do as much as I can for this, time I've been allotted here on earth.
It's good. This is good stuff. I'm glad to hear it. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of all of your accomplishments and everything that you've done. And, honey, I'm so looking forward to you just branching your wings out. I see MDiv. That's the next on your list to tackle.
Yes, yes. Yep, at Luther Rice University. I start in January.
Oh, wonderful. That's great news. Great news. I look forward to hearing some of your sermons, especially after you've taken a course in Old Testament and Hebrew language.
Yes, ma'am. I will definitely keep you up on that.
Yes, I want to, because I can't wait to hear the shift, because there's going to be a shift in how you present the Old and New Testament, but especially that Old Testament. So I'm so looking forward to that. I am so looking forward to that.
Awesome.
So you care to share what your immediate thoughts are regarding the I find it interesting. It's called the Religious Freedom Protection and Civil Union Act. Well, it's the Religious Freedom and Marriage Act. That's the name of the law. It's that name is really interesting, Religious Freedom and Marriage.
Right, absolutely. My initial thoughts are this. Being a Christian with the Bible being my document of faith, I am against same gender marriage. I believe that it is explicitly as well as implicitly stated in the scripture. However, when you begin to cross boundaries and speak about marriage equality, as I were hearing you speak earlier, you get into more of a civil rights issue.
Mm-hmm,
and when you
mm-hmm.
get into that arena, if indeed civil unions and or marriage becomes legislatively allowed on the state level, once you enter into that territory, then I am definitely in favor of marriage equality. And the reason why I say that is because, traditional, what I call traditional, Bible-toting Christians, we tend to speak on a more of a level of condemnation and when it comes to, same-gender marriage. And we begin to make all of these statements. And even in the church, if you hear a lot of, in a lot of traditional black churches, you'll hear even when homosexuality or lesbianism is preached on, it is my experience that it's not done in many instances competently. For example, you hear a preacher calling himself, preaching on it and saying, well, God didn't make, he made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve,
Right.
And in his, and in his limited, exegetical knowledge, he views that as adequately preaching on the subject, I think there are other issues of Christianity, love, as Jesus commanded us in St. John 13 and 34, compassion, understanding, being non-judgmental. I think those characteristics are underrepresented when it comes to Christians viewing the concept of same gender marriage. And so I would give an example. I have a family member right now that is in stage 4 cervical cancer. And I would challenge anybody who believes that they are a Christian. This is my stance. We all probably know somebody who has had cancer, but if you have ever been intimately involved with a person to the point to where you see the suffering, the agony, and the deterioration that comes along with that disease, it is my opinion that nobody in their right mind see anyone suffer like that, simply because of sexual orientation. And what I mean by that is just the example of, on the federal level, not receiving some of the benefits like health insurance, because, those benefits aren't offered, on a federal level. And so, people say, oh, I'm not for it, and, we're against it, and, they shouldn't be allowed to have the same benefits. I think that undermines some of the very characteristics that we are commanded to have according to Scripture. So I am against gay marriage, in of itself, but our vote is our voice. And once the voices have spoken legislatively, you know, and if it is allowed, then I believe that there should be equality across the board. You know, because even when you talk about divorce and division of, you know, of property, how can you tell me someone who has helped build something has no right, you know, to material or property disbursement? That's just not right to me, and I believe that the scriptural, you know, the scripture states those things explicitly.
Right. I think many people, especially Christians, and particularly Black American Christians, have this problem with marriage equality. As far as not, I think education is an issue. Not to say that the people are uneducated, but just being compassionate to the plight of people, and not to get into whether or not the person can choose to be gay or not, whether the person was born gay or not. Those aren't viable issues at this juncture. What's viable is what you said, you know, being able to list next of kin. This is more or less, it's showing us that marriage is more or less a business transaction than it with the state, than it is a love transaction with two people. So I think we need to be a little bit more, make a more concerted effort as to getting an understanding of what the actual laws are, what has been for, you know, same-sex, different-sex people, and acquaint ourselves with those things so you folks can stop being, for lack of a better word, bigoted in their thinking.
All right.
Go ahead, sweetie.
So I'm just going to say I totally agree.
Okay. So, but as a minister of the cloth, would you, a couple come to you and they say, well, we want to have premarital counseling, same gender couple come to you, we want to have premarital counseling, we want you to do it, and we want you to perform our ceremony. What is your answer? Would you do that?
I would not. I would not because, you know, scripturally, I believe, you know, the Bible speaks against it from an Old Testament perspective, you know, on through the New Testament. And I feel like I would be in a violation, you know, of my Christian and biblical principles as well as, you know, my duties, you know, as a minister. So I would not, you know, agree to counsel them premaritally. I would, however, volunteer to counsel them, but it wouldn't be on a premarital level, and I wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Perform any type of ceremony, but the way that I would entreat them, you know, would first be an entreatment of love and an entreatment of respect, because one of the things, you know, one of the faults that I feel that we have as the Black church, we like to take the acts of homosexuality and lesbianism, in my opinion, and place a greater weight on that than we do any other sin, it seemingly. For instance, the Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. And so I believe as a Christian, and especially as a minister, when you're dealing with the issue of what the Bible calls sin, you have to look at homosexuality and lesbianism under the same umbrella that you look at lying, stealing, adultery, fornication, and any other sin of the Bible.
Right.
You know, cannot, you know, so well, this one is worse than this one, or give more weight to a particular one. All sin is unrighteousness.
Right. That bothers me the most, because I hear and I watch people, and I'm like, yo, but you have a problem with, you like pornography, but ain't pornography wrong? Wait,
right.
Don't you? But you were just coveting your boy's wife.
Right.
What, isn't that like lust of the eye? Something in the Bible tells me that you're not supposed to do that. I don't profess to be a Bible scholar, but I do know enough to know that thou shalt not steal, and you walking around snacking on a bunch of grapes while you grocery shopping, and folks don't pay for them while, you know, that, you know, I'm coming up with some of the most meandering things, but I'm just trying to drive home a point. You know, what is that scripture? He who is without sin?
Let him cast the first stone.
Right. And a lot of people who are religious, for lack of a better word, always quote that scripture to Christians. As far as, you know, that you should be forced to accept this. And they also equate this to segregation. And I mentioned a little earlier in my intro that I have a little problem with that. As a student of history, can you help me with this? Is this the same level or the same weight as what happened to our ancestors and with the civil rights movement?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. You know, when you're talking about the civil rights movement, you're talking about, you know, total, in many instances, discombobulation of the black family unit. You're talking about, you know, lynchings. You're talking about children being murdered. You're talking about wives, you know, being raped in front of husbands and you know, homes being destroyed. I think it's on a totally different level than that of the civil rights movement or anything dealing with, you know, the times of segregation. I do understand, you know, where they're trying to go with it. However, it just doesn't fit, you know. And I'm careful, you know, with that because, you know, especially to a lot of, you know, our brothers and sisters that lived during that time. I mean, that to me is almost a borderline insult to their struggle. You know, I definitely respect the rights that our you know, lesbian, homosexual brothers and sisters are trying to fight for, but we have to keep everything in its proper context. I don't think in any way, shape, form, or fashion you can relate that to the struggle of the civil rights movement.
Interesting. I'm glad that was brought out in a better way than I could have explained it, because you know, I haven't changed much because what comes up comes out. So in my conversation.
That's why we love you.
But you know, in my travelings, I've come across people say, you know, you feel our pain, and you feel where we are. You know where we stand, and I'm standing there shaking my head. No, boo, I really don't understand where you are. I empathize with the fact that you can't have your beloved to share your love with you and express in an expression, in an outward expression that's appealing to everybody. I apologize for that. But no, I don't feel that this is any way, shape, or form or fashion anything like what my grandmother went through, like your grandmother, your grandfather, anything that they can attest to that they've been through. This is nothing like that. A couple more things before we go to break. Let's see. Here's one thing. It says, if gays are granted rights, next we'll have to give rights to prostitutes and to people who sleep with St. Bernards and to nail biters and to polygamists. What are your thoughts on that? Because especially that polygamist part, I do know of a group or two of people in the United States that call themselves part of the Progressive Love Movement. And I'm going to address this next year, but polygyny, which is one man, many women, and polyandry, which is one woman, many men, and then there is polyamory, which is everybody just loving, you know, we back in the 70s. So when it says, if gays are granted rights, next we'll have to give rights to prostitutes and to people who sleep with Saint Bernards and to nail biters and to polygamists. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that, I guess to summarize it, you know, we have to take things as they come. If you look at the concept, you know, historically, I mean, love and or marriage, you know, has evolved throughout our history. And thing, if I can even, you know, hit at it from a Christian perspective is, you know, we have a voice. You know, we live in the United States of America. We're part of a great democracy. We have a voice. And it is our job, I believe, as believers and as citizens to exercise that right so our voice can be heard. But once, you know, once the voices have, you know, has been completed, if you will, and legislation has been made or change has been made from a legal level, then we have to adjust. And when I say adjust, what I mean is not necessarily compromise or change our belief system or have a paradigm shift. Just simply, you know, we can still speak. We still have the right to protest. You know, we still have the right to speak out. But everything has to be done within the context, you know, of the law. We all know that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. And just like, you know, these current legislations, you know, particularly with Illinois being the 15th state, you know, to allow civil unions and things of such, you know, we have to adjust it as these things come. I mean, you know, I'm sure they would probably being a little bit, you know, sarcastic, you know, when you talk about, you know, the animal perspective, you know what I mean? But, you know, just, you know, we just have to take it as it comes.
I don't know. Them some corn-fed people that really did, you know, a nice cow or a horse every now and then. You don't know. You got to... You've got to take things all into, you know, into consideration. But I thought that was funny. I just thought that was funny. Also, let's see. Yeah, there. I'm looking at a list of. It says the 10 dumbest things ever said about same gender marriage, the same sex marriage. It says here, Europe, which gave us the idea of same-sex marriage, is a dying society with birth rates 50% below replacement. There is this whole continuity kind of aspect of it. You have, so same-gendered marriages can't produce children.
Right.
Naturally. With each other.
Right.
So the issue is, where are the new people going to come from to carry the earth forward?
Right. Can I chime in here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I mean, I think that is, you know, especially from my perspective, I think that is a very valid claim, if I could take one of the Old Testament examples, speaking from a Christian perspective, and Genesis, first through the third chapter, when God created man, specifically Adam, and he said it's not good that man should be alone, that he would create, according to the King James Version, a help that is meet for him. And from that, his rib, he created Eve, which was woman. I think that from a revelatory, you know, perspective, God was giving his design for marriage and for the purpose of procreation. And, you know, and if you take that stance from the book of Genesis and move on to the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter in particular, I believe it was, where according to the Levitical laws that, you know, a man to lay with another man was considered or termed an abomination. If you keep it moving forward to the New Testament, you know, Romans, the first chapter, when he talks about vile affection, when he talks about inordinate affection, when he talks about being effeminate, all those Greek words carry a carrier etymology that is rooted into same gender relations. But in the New Testament, more specifically, it outlines that men changing the natural use of men to that of its own, and women doing likewise. And so I think when you talk about a procreational perspective as well as a spiritual design, you know, it is my belief, biblically speaking, that it was God's intention for marriage to be an institution of love between a man and a woman. And if I can even name a study, I believe it was in 2000, it's a little bit outdated, I believe it was, I want to say it was 2002, that was conducted in Oxford University. It was a study that that tracked the mortality rate for homosexual males in their 20s, and based off of some of the mortality rates that were found and tracked, it was discovered that they have a higher increase for a high likelihood for disease, and it was very likely that most of them would not live to reach their 65th birthday. As well as when they did the same study with lesbians, it was reached that that women that participated in, you know, sexual acts with other women were at a higher likelihood for breast cancer, ovarian cancer, and hepatitis. And their mortality rates were also significantly less than heterosexual males and females. So I think that I think that we have some, in my opinion, some physiological evidence in some instances that speak to a greater spiritual truth. But again, you know, I emphatically state that even as Christians, when we are standing on these spiritual truths, it must be done in a fashion with love, you know, compassion, and understanding. I do not believe that homosexuals and lesbians should be shunned. I do not believe that any person, whether it be Christian, a minister, or whatever, you know, should engage in any type of hate speech or any type of, you know, degrading, you know, of a person that chooses that lifestyle. It's just wrong all the way around. And I believe, especially we as the Black Church, we definitely have to take a second look about how we are viewing as well as how we are addressing this issue.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree. We're going to need to take a break, Rodney, okay?
Okay.
So I'm going to put you on hold right now. Ladies and gentlemen, family and friends, you are listening to Coffee Tea Conversation with Miss Tony on Cheryl's World. I am Miss Tony with my special guest, Reverend Rodney Jordan out of College Park, Georgia. We'll be right back after this song. Thank you. Yes, a little Sade, a little Sade for your afternoon sip. You are listening to Coffee Tea Conversation and Conversation with Miss Tony. I am your hostess with the mostest, Miss Tony, and we're all here on Cheryl's World. I've been talking with Reverend Rodney Jordan. I'm going to chime him back in. Reverend Jordan, you're back live with Coffee Tea Conversation with Miss Tony on Cheryl's World. Welcome back, my dear. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for spending the afternoon with me. Technology is wonderful. Can you imagine if we had such technology back in the day? Dude.
I know.
Oh, my gosh. The young folks, they don't understand the need for having a pen pal.
Right.
I don't know. Did you all have pen pals?
We did.
Okay. Yeah, we have pen pals and all the other stuff. I'm just maybe about a year, so 6 months older than you.
right.
So just take that. Just go with that.
Oh, yeah, I'm riding it out.
My cousin Charity sends her regards. She says we're doing good. So that's a good plus. She said, yeah, I heard Ronnie Jordan.
Said, hey.
She hears you.
Oh, hey, Charity.
But let's get back to the subject. It says, I have I don't know what to call this. It's answers to questions about marriage equality.
Mm-hmm.
I found online, and it says 10 facts. Same-sex couples live in 99.3% of all counties nationwide. Right. There are an estimated 3.1 million people living together in same-sex relationships in the United States.
Wow.
15% of these same-sex couples live in rural settings. One out of three lesbian couples is raising children. One out of five gay male couples is raising children. Between 1 million and 9 million children are being raised by lesbian, gay, and bisexual parents in the United States today. At least one same-sex couple is raising children in 96% of all counties nationwide. The highest percentages of same-sex couples raising children live in the South.
Oh.
Yeah, that was a Selah moment.
Yeah, some of
right
those are staggering. Yeah.
Nearly one in four same-sex couples includes a partner 55 years or older, and nearly one in five same-sex couples is composed of two people 55 or older.
Wow.
More than one in 10 same-sex couples include a partner 65 years or older, and nearly 1 in 10 same-sex couples is composed of two people 65 or older. And number 10, the states with the highest numbers of same-sex senior couples are also the most popular for straight senior couples, which are California, New York, and Florida. Isn't that something?
Man, it is.
These facts are based on analysis of the 2000 census conducted by the Urban Institute and the Human Rights Campaign. The estimated number of people in same-sex relationships has been adjusted by 62% to compensate for the widely reported undercount in the census. So that was the disclaimer part that had to come with that. But those, if you look at it, same to assign to for a state to go ahead and approve same-sex marriage, is big business.
It is. Definitely.
It is big business.
It definitely is, in the business world as well as the political arena. I was thinking earlier when I was thinking about the topic, had President Barack Obama not taken the stand that he did on same-sex union, I would argue or submit that he may not even be our president today.
Really?
I definitely would, because think about the representation, as far as voters are concerned, because all those numbers that you just talked about, they translate the vote.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely translate the votes. And I do believe that had he taken a stand of opposition, I'm not sure that he would have won the election.
Okay, we're not going to get into that's a whole other show.
Right.
Don't carry me too fast, not here.
Right.
But I did write that down. That is something a lot of people have said that if he did not. So do you think, I guess, are we trying to guesstimate here that he just did that for vote? To help support our claim that, support to the gay and lesbian community is also a support to the pocketbook.
I believe so, because, and I know, I don't want to get too far off track, but I'll just throw this out there. When he came out and he ran the first time, it was no secret, concerning the Christian values that he had, according to him. And as time began to move forward, he kind of, backtracked off some statements. Then I believe it was in 2009, he said the memorandum granting some benefits to same-sex partners of federal employees. And then again in 2011, the Obama administration instructed the Justice Department to stop defending the constitutionality of the Defense of Marriage Act that was originally signed by Bill Clinton in 1996, that protecting, if you will, the institution of marriage being, for a man and for a woman, and that if the state decided to allow civil unions, that they would not receive federal benefits, And so you can see the further he goes, into his political career, if you trace it back, he kind of makes more of a turn, on this particular issue.
Exactly. Which brings to my mind when President Clinton signed the DOMA, he could have been signing it to save his own neck for him to be able to run again.
Right,
because
right.
I think he signed that act while he was yet still campaigning for his second term.
Mm-hmm.
So suffice it to say that there is a certain level amount of power that, and not just financial power, but political power as well, that comes with supporting the rights of gay people. And do you think that could have been the stronghold for, on those people on state legislatures nationwide? You better do this, or you won't be reelected.
Right. I definitely believe. I won't say the whole. You know what I mean? Because I don't want to. I'm not necessarily a conspiracy theorist, but I do believe there is some of that involved. We know a political game is you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours, type deal. So I definitely do believe that some of that mentality was present. I do.
That could be, but we'll save the rest of that for the political discussion. You'll have to call back and give your point of view.
Right.
But document that I've downloaded from the Human Rights Campaign, it says Answers to Questions About Marriage Equality. I know I wrote something down. Prior, I'm going to come back to these questions here, but if you want to go online, just Google the Human Rights Campaign, and it says the answers to questions about marriage equality. And that's where I got the 10 facts from. And here's where they talk about why they want to marry. They want hospital visitation. Just like, I don't know if you had an opportunity to hear the story about the man named Joe. Joe's lover's family just totally disregarded him, did not allow him access to his lover while he was in hospice at the hospital. He was denied Social Security benefits. It says health insurance, estate taxes, family leave, you know, to be able to take off work to take care of your sick loved one, nursing homes. Married people live together, have legal right to live together in a nursing home, and the rights of elderly, gay, just go back to the California, the most of the senior gay populations in California, New York, and Florida. These folks want to have the rights to stay at senior complexes that are for married people, and currently they aren't able to do that. A high home protection laws protect married seniors from being forced to sell their homes to pay high nursing home bills. Gay and lesbian seniors have no such protection in the states that don't have that aren't legal. And then pensions after death, you know, folks want the money. So, money. And then they say why civil unions or domestic partnerships aren't enough. And I found this to be interesting. They say that state grants marriage licenses to couples under domestic partnership or civil union. If the states grant rights, marriage licenses to the couples. There's religious institutions. Religious institutions are not required to perform marriage ceremonies. Couples receive state-based legal protections and rights that are identical to those of opposite-sex couples. Some states recognize marriages of same-sex couples from another state. And then as a married couple, they would receive over 1,100 federal benefits that are extended to opposite sex couples.
Right.
So, you know, just being in a civil union is not enough. Just being in a domestic partnership, we'll be domestic partners, and that's not enough. What I find really interesting is that domestic partnerships can be for different gender and same gendered people relationships. Did you know that?
No, I did. I was not aware of that.
Right. Here in Illinois, I know in Chicago, domestic partnership is for everybody. If, you know, say you and Ro did not want to be married, but you wanted to have some type of legal attachment to each other, you two, instead of going down to getting a marriage license, you guys could go down and get a domestic partnership agreement, and you all would be domestic partners.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
That is amazing. Yeah.
So there are quite a few. I don't have numbers, but I do remember reading an article at one time that said that there were opposite sex individuals going down applying for those domestic partnerships. Let's see. The opposite sex folks don't want to get married. Same sex folks want to get married.
Well, give me, right.
I don't know. What's something's wrong with this?
Right. I I read one quote online where a gentleman said, "I'm definitely in favor of same-sex marriages. They should be able to suffer like everybody else."
That sounds like one of my friends, Mark McQuaid, with his old crazy self. He's like, suffer with me. Yes, you know, my dad said something like that, but we're not going to. Hi, Dad. And while I say hi, Dad, hi, Mom. Say hello to your parents so they get yeah, so hello.
Hey, you know, Mom and Dad, how you guys doing?
Say hello to your wife.
Hey, babe.
Okay, I forgot to get that out of the way.
Right.
Earlier. My dad likes to call in sometimes, child. But anyway, everybody I'm looking, they don't want to say, and that's another thing too, Rodney, no one really wanted to say anything on in public about this. They were shooting me inboxes, say this and say that and say this and say that. No, come online and say it. But
right.
I'm finding that I don't want to call it cowardice, and maybe just people, some folks are introverts, and I understand that, but what is the hesitancy? Is this conversation so taboo that people don't want to dive into the deep of it?
For some people that is, and you know, I think that for a large number of people, the issue is being able to adequately express themselves and be respectful, you know, because I think we all have friends or know that person, if they were to get in, you know, this very debate, you know, some would lose their temper and, you know, they would be yelling and, you know, degrading and things of that nature. So I just think that, you know, a lot of people just don't know how to express themselves, because when people talk about their belief system, there's a lot of passion that comes behind that. But you have to have an intellectual harness on that passion in order to have some courageous conversations and for progress to be made, because that's the most important thing. How can we make progress, be it as a family, as a church, as a community, as a movement, whatever it is, how can we move forward and have productive dialogue? And in order to do that, you have to know how to adequately express yourself and allow cool heads to prevail.
So how can we prepare people? Because this is here, whether they like it or not. How can we prepare people for living accepting, maybe? I feel there needs to be some kind of training so that when, you know, you're presented with an opportunity, for instance, to service a gay or lesbian couple, and you tell them no, they can cite you for discrimination. There have been reports that people have been threatening to shut businesses down because of their belief. They don't want to participate and create a cake. So the gay and lesbian community goes and says, we're going to shut you down. We're going to tell people not to buy from you. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And you won't have any money. You'll be out of business. And we'll put a business in there that will be willing to take care of us. How do we prepare the hearts and minds of the people? What kind of training do you think it will take to do that?
I think I would stretch the word training and just make it more broad in the sense of I believe it, the training should be institutionalized. And what I mean by that is if you talk about the family unit, you know, if we have more parents and guardians that could educate themselves, on these types of things, you know, they could pass that down to children. And sometimes, you know, when you're educating yourself, it doesn't even have to be anything formal. You know, sometimes you could just talk to somebody, and you'll be surprised. You know, if you're pure in your intents as far as, you know, trying to learn about the plights of our homosexual and lesbian brothers and sisters. What are some of the things that they have to go through from a discriminatory perspective, and what are some of the plights that they feel they have in society? If you can just sit down and have a dialogue, you know, you can pass those things on, because I believe that the cure-all for any situation, whether it be religious discrimination, you know, sexual orientation, is this: treat people how you would want to be treated. You know, service someone the same manner you would want someone to service you. You know, mm-hmm. and especially, again, if I can bring it back to the Christian arena, you know, we are commanded mm-hmm. by Jesus to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, the thing about mm-hmm. that I love about that analogy is, if you look at your neighbor literally, even though, you know, we understand that, you know, Jesus didn't necessarily mean your next-door neighbor, but if I could just give you that connotation, think about your next-door neighbor. You don't know what's mm-hmm. in that house. You know, you don't know what types of things are going on over there. It could be, you know, adultery. It could be homosexuality. Mm-hmm. Any number of things. But we are commanded to love our neighbors and to treat them the same ways that we would want to be treated. Again, he says to do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. And although I have my spiritual beliefs, that should have no bearing on me treating you in a negative manner. You know, there is just mm-hmm. no place for that in any type of arena. You know, so I think that people should seek out to educate themselves more. You know, more. I think what you're doing is awesome. These are what, if I could steal the term from Bishop T.D. Jakes, these are what he calls courageous conversations. You know, getting the audacity and the nerve to have these conversations that are normally mm-hmm. deemed taboo. You know, because as you stated, this is here, and it's here to stay.
Yeah. Oh,
you
yeah.
know, and we have to learn how to navigate in the world where, in a society where these things are reality. You know, so I think, you know, to educate on every level, you know, from a family perspective, from a definitely from a church perspective. You know, as you know, some of the things in my own Reformation that I've challenged, you know, some of our leadership with. We have to take a second look at how we approach this subject, because, you know, in many instances, it's just not right, and it's not Christ-like how we in the Black Church have addressed the issue of same-sex marriages, or just the general concepts of homosexuality and lesbianism. We have to educate ourselves. We have to, you know, look at some of the questions, the whys, the hows, the things of that nature, and first put back that principle of respect, because I don't care what kind of sin, as we view it, an individual comes into the church with, they should always be respected. You know,
I agree.
Just because I respect you doesn't mean that I have to change my belief system for you, you know. But we especially those, the mouthpieces of God, which I call ministers, we have to definitely do a better job in addressing these issues.
I agree. You know what? In our conversation, we got someone who wants to talk to a talk.
Awesome.
If you could hold on for a second, Rodney.
Absolutely.
Caller from area code 615-946, you are on live with Coffee, Tea, and Conversation with Ms. Tony on Cheryl's World. I am Ms. Tony. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for asking. Did you have something that you would like to share?
Well, I definitely wanted to share, and I want to say, hey, you guys, this is Charity.
Hey, Charity.
Hey. I certainly wanted to echo Rodney took the absolute words out of my mouth when you speak to the fact of why people don't want to talk about it. And, you know, it's amazing to me, because people, they get so caught up in their beliefs and trying to force their beliefs down your throat that they don't, they forget to love. They forget to, you know, treat a person as they should be treated, you know, and they get so caught up in their anger of, well, why this person don't believe what I believe, or why they think they right in doing what they're doing, that, you know, we lose so many people just because we're trying to force a belief down their throat instead of loving them first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
so
and,
do you
and,
feel...
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Charity.
Going to say, you know, when Rodney said, you know, it's really not... Even though I don't believe what you believe, you may not believe what I believe, but it doesn't mean that we can't have a conversation. It doesn't mean that we can't talk to one another, love one another, and treat each other as Christ instructed us to. Just because we don't have it, it doesn't mean that I have to conform to what you believe, but I also don't believe that just because you're gay or lesbian, you don't deserve to have health insurance and this, that, and the other. You know, I mean, you know, I don't agree with that type of treatment either.
Okay, so you're under the mindset that you don't want to be forced to have to believe in what they're doing, but you don't want them to be people to be mistreated. Is
Absolutely.
That what I'm hearing you say? Okay.
Absolutely. I don't have to believe that gay and lesbians are right, you know, in what they're doing, because I believe the Bible, but I don't believe that they should be mistreated because of what they're doing either, because sin is sin. And if I'm going to treat them wrong because of their sin, then I should treat everybody wrong because of, you know, their sin. It's just a different sin.
Right. Yeah, we were talking about people who walk around with grapes in their hands in the grocery store and then get to the end of the cashier and there are no grapes in their cart because they ate them all. And the Bible says, thou shalt not steal. It's
Absolutely.
Really really elementary, but it's the same thing. You can't
Absolutely.
You can't throw everything out. With the, let's say, the baby in the bathwater business, you can't
mm-hmm.
throw the baby and the bathwater out together. Either you're going to, you know, be inconsiderate and bigoted in your belief and blame God for it, or are you going to do what Christ told us to do? And when he told us that you should love your neighbor as yourself, and then there was something to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, which is my favorite scripture. I just hate that I can't quote it right ever. But when I hear it, I get excited. Because those are the two commandments, and that's all I'm supposed to do. I can remember, too, as opposed to the 638 that's in the Old Testament, for real.
Yeah.
But did you have anything else you wanted to share, Charity? By the way, your voice sounds good, Lauren. I can't wait till December 28th.
Oh, that's good. It's good to hear y'all. But, no, I don't have anything else that I want to share. I'm looking forward to our conversation December the 28th. You know, I just wish people really understood, you know, what it is to love. And love don't mean that I got to treat you wrong and shove. I mean, believing what you believe doesn't mean that I have to, or not believing, I'm sorry, doesn't mean that I have to treat you wrong or that I can't love you just because we don't believe the same thing. I just wish people fully understood that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. We come from a place where I think that was fostered. It was nurtured, where if you didn't believe what I believe, then you were wrong, and I don't have to love you or agree with you, and I cast you out, and you know, stuff like that. So it's refreshing to hear. My friends, who one is still in the Reformation, and the other one who is not in the Reformation that we grew up in, and I'm just about a year older than the both of them, so I hear the change, Rodney. I hear the change from you, and I guess it would take your generation, that Joshua type generation, to invoke in an institute. The change necessary so that
the church, your church can grow and not become stagnant. You understand what I mean? I'm not trying to
absolutely.
Be offensive.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. I wasn't trying to be offensive, but, you know, know that.
I'm definitely with you.
It's just that, you know, some thought processes leads to, and you said it best, it's not a proper exegesis of the scripture. There's not, there's no education. The education behind the scripture is not encouraged. I don't know, is it still that way, or do they, you just go by what the UPM, Uniform Policy Manual, and the Discipline, and the Little Life Savior, and then
well,
that's
I,
it.
I think there's been definitely some progress, you know, but I think what people have to also believe is the difference is more cultural than spiritual. If I may put it to that, like I've had,
yeah.
You know, my pastor is well into his 80s, you know, and he and I have had many, you know, conversations, you know, along this line about, you know, what's preached, you know, how to competently and adequately, you know, address certain issues. And I can honestly say he's been open to every single what some would call taboo conversation, you know, that I've brought to him. You know, it is a learning experience, if you will. It's just like getting your grandfather or grandmother, you know, an iPad. You know, it's a whole new world to them, you know. And so they, you know, that issue, they have to be brought along, you know, in love as well. And I know that, you know, my methodology of preaching, you know, my style, And I think a lot of my content is very radical and new, you know, to my particular Reformation. But it has been, you know, received with open arms. And I think the reason why that has been is because, you know, as I stated before, you have to know how to, you know, adequately express yourself. You know, I can express a different view, a different perspective, you know, in a competent but a respectful way. You know, because, mm-hmm. you know, when you're dealing with, I think, church reformations, you know, and you're dealing with leaders, I think, although, you know, you bring in about a different perspective, you still have to maintain a certain level of respect. And you know, in my opinion, I feel like I've done a good job of that. And as long as I've been doing that, there's no conversation that I've brought to the table that has been, you know, rejected or been tossed to the side, or we don't want to talk about that. And I would, you know, challenge that, you know, in my geographical area, I'm used just as much or more than any minister there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I
mm-hmm.
think it's you know, it's all in your approach.
Mm-hmm. Well, that which is a perfect segue into the question I was going to ask you earlier. In the event that your view of this issue does not line up with the stance of your religious reformation that you're in, what happens to you? Do you keep your standing as a minister? What happens? Do you, if you are trying to bring about a paradigm shift in the thought process in your reformation? We can't speak to anybody else's, but Reverend Rodney, what are your thoughts with that?
Well, to my knowledge, there is no precedence for that, so I don't know, you know, how good of a picture I could paint. But
mm-hmm.
Again, I would state, you know, especially when you're talking about a paradigm shift, it's all, I think, in how you try and bring it about. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think if a minister were to get up and, you know, start, you know, preaching, you know, particular content that was not in line, you know, with our belief system, I think they would be called to the carpet. You know, I definitely would, and they would be questioned. You know, and this is just me surmising. I haven't really, you know, known it to happen like that, but this is just me surmising. But my stance is this, you know, I, you know, as you know, we grew up in, you know, in this particular Reformation, and I, you know, I have a sense of love and loyalty in my heart. But as a Christian, you know, I'm charged with fidelity to the Scripture above all else. And so my stance is, you know, if I believe something scripturally, I'm going to stand on it, you know, and I have to allow that experience to take me wherever it takes me, you know, whether it is to stay where I am, whether it to be somewhere else, whether it to be put out, whatever it is, you know, I have to allow my fidelity to the Scriptures to guide me. And as far as preaching, you know, I just believe, you know, I'm a very strong proponent of you know, exegesis of Scripture. You know, you really have to examine Scripture, you know, from all proper avenues, you know, before you begin to expound on the text. So I just take a personal responsibility as a minister, you know, the ministers that will allow me, anytime I, you know, get to a dialogue with another minister, we share and, you know, talk about resources and talk about strategies. Matter of fact, I'm up here visiting in Detroit now, and there are a couple of deacons and preachers that I'm sitting down with tonight on that very same subject. We're just going to take a text, we got some resources, and we're going to go through how to properly exegete the text. You know, so I give what I can give, and I keep, you know, seeking knowledge, you know, which is why, you know, I expose myself. I listen, you know, to other ministers and, you know, try and become a good orator and a better Christian.
That thing right there stuck with me. You said fidelity to the Scripture.
Yeah.
I was sitting here going, go ahead, you better go ahead, boy. But I had to keep my mouth, because I tried to be professional as much as I can, but I just want to let you know, I was throwing all kind of biscuits at you, hamburgers, and then I heard Charity on the other end going,
Yeah, because, you know.
Didn't that resonate with you?
Absolutely. And, you know, my dad used to say, believe God and leave the consequences to him. And
I know that's right.
That's it right there. You got to believe God. Forget man. And what does the Bible say? And that, even when I minister to women, I talk to women, what does the Word say? That's it right there. That definitely resonated with me.
Yeah, that blessed. That went out on Twitter. That went out on Facebook. That went out everywhere. I'm here to tell you, fidelity to the Scripture. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, we are at the 17-minute mark for our conversation here with Coffee, Tea, and Conversation with Miss Toni on Cheryl's World. I am Miss Toni. You still have 17 more minutes if you want to chime in for all these people who are just listening. 646-200-0459. Press 1 if you would like to talk. We have another person who would like to talk. So, Charity, I'm going to put you on hold. You can continue to listen if you like. Thank you so much for chiming in. I really appreciate you. Okay, babe?
Thank you. Love y'all.
Okay. Love you too, babe. Caller from area code 251-716, you're on live with Coffee, Tea, and Conversation with Miss Toni. And my guest here today is Reverend Rodney Jordan. How may we be of assistance to you?
Hi, are you still talking about the marriage equality?
Yes, ma'am, we are.
Okay. My name's Amaris. We're actually Facebook friends.
Oh, hey, this is my beautiful diva. How are you?
Fine, how are you?
I'm fine, sweetheart. What do you have to say?
Well, as far as I know, we're friends, so you know my stance on homosexuality. I just don't like it.
Okay, you know, go ahead. Yeah.
We, you know, my family is not Christian. Some of my family is, but my children and I are not. And my ex-husband, we're not Christian. I'm against homosexuality, but I am for marriage equality.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason is because, you know, as far as the institution of marriage, just being a contract, you know, if, let's say my best friend, she had no children, no family or anything, and
mm-hmm.
she wanted to bequeath her wealth, and she left it to me, I'd have to pay taxes on it. And
mm-hmm.
we got married under the marriage equality thing where lesbians can get married, then she could leave it to me tax-free. And I know that that's just, you know, the whole big thing with the gays getting married stuff is only to bequeath wealth to whoever they want to give it to, tax-free or not. And, they're,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're doing it anyway. I don't care if they get married and it says, you know, whatever. There's so many people getting married for whatever reason anyway. I don't see the point
mm-hmm.
in, you know, denying it. Because people get married for, you know, reasons to stay in the country. People get married
mm-hmm.
just, you know, because I want to marry this rich person. I really don't see the point. And, you know, it's aggravating, but so is everything else. So I don't,
mm-hmm.
you know, I really don't see the point telling them they can't get married. I mean, they even got gay churches now. They want to get married, get married at the gay church.
Right.
You know, I'm for marriage equality. I'm not one of those burn the gay people at the stake. I'm more for, you know, don't acquiesce with everything. Don't let your son wear pink toenail polish because he says he wants to. You know, I'm more against the whole homosexuality, us being okay with it, than I am for marriage. That's just, you know, a byproduct.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, this is my friend, childhood friend, Amaris, from many years. His name is Reverend Rodney Jordan. Rodney, this is Amaris. Amaris is a phenomenal woman. She is rearing her children on her own. She is homeschooling them. Homeschooling them. And these children are phenomenal in their thinking, in their how they approach the idea of the world. And she's an excellent mother, and I value her opinion as a woman, as she corrects me to say it. But in her ideology, though, she says she's not Christian. But her whole ideology of how to approach things, you know, Amaris, I hate to say it, it's quite Christian. It's supposed to be.
Well, I was raised in a very,
you know?
Very Christian home. I went to church
okay.
7 days a week, well, 7 nights a week and 2 or 3 days a week. And my grandfather ran a church. You know, he was a pastor of Divine Guidance Church of God in Christ. So, you know, I had to do a lot of stuff in the church. I learned a lot of manners, and, you know, I still sing church songs to myself, and, you know, and the way things were with my grandparents,
mm-hmm.
I used to call that house Hotel Heron, because my grandparents really practiced what they preached. And
mm-hmm.
even though I'm not Christian, you know, anymore, since, you know, I have different beliefs, but the core of it is what I took with me. And, you know, it hurts my family that I don't want to go to church or anything, but it's not the same. It's just not the same. When I was little, everybody in the church was my mom. When I became a teenager and I started want to wear short skirts to church, you know, any mother in the church would come and put their sweater right over my legs.
Tell
me to sit there. Yeah, sit my little fast butt down somewhere. So, you know, I had purity class and sunshine band and all that stuff. So, you know, the family and, you know, etiquette aspect of it, I kept with me. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's some things that I just don't like about it, period. And, you know, a lot of the hypocrisy and stuff like that I don't like with. And for one thing, I think anti-homosexuality, you know, people being against it, they try to play it in the media like it's only Christian, you know.
Mm.
I see all the time they're trying to say that, well, the Bible says this and the Bible says that. And, you know, it's, you know me, I just, it's unnatural. you know, our whole purpose of living is to keep creating life. You cannot create life that way. Anything that's anti-life is not good.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the institution of marriage, stop. I got, no, honey, I'm on the phone. I got married. It didn't do me any good. You know, I'm stuck. Getting married is cheap. Getting divorced is expensive.
Girl.
You know, I'm and it's an institution. It's a contract. When you get married, you're the two of you are signing a contract with the state. You know, that's why you have to pay and everything. It's not, you know, if anything, I wish everybody who wanted to get married would stop doing it legally. You know, promise to each other, promise under God, promise under, you know, Allah, whoever, and just keep to the word that you guys have without involving the state. So,
but then the state wouldn't be able to make money. How would the state make money? And then how would people get their, how would the state legislature get their pensions and stuff? You cutting in on the people's pay now. You can't take the people's pay from.
Yeah, and I want to because, you know, these people, they make enough. They make enough. I taught pre-K for 15 years, and I never made more than $8 an hour. But I was still able to feed. I only had 4 children at that time. You know, now I have 6. But I still was able to feed and clothe and house everybody. You know, everybody needs to, you know, my opinion, everybody needs to do with less. They really need to do with less. And stop, you know, now since I decided to stop working, you know, educate my own children, we use food stamps and we live in government housing. So people say, well, you're dependent on the system. Everybody's dependent on the system. Unless you grow your own food and building your own home, and making your own clothes, everybody is dependent on the system. Everybody is pretty much, you know, if the electricity goes out for a month, people wouldn't know what to do. You know, I'm more of a get back to basics. If they want to get married and sign contracts or whatever, let them have it.
I agree. But thank you so much for calling to share in. I need to start doing my end of the program call in. You waited until 17 minutes.
I just finished getting everybody situated. I'm about to go again to get my 2 older sons for basketball practice. Steel is here, and he's helping me run around for a little bit. Yeah. So,
hey, Steel.
I had to call in. Steel, say hi to Antonia. Did you hear him?
Yeah, I heard him. Hey.
Yeah,
that's good. That's right. Get them boys in line. Get them boys in line.
Yeah, but I'm so proud of you and your show. Good job.
You.
I really like you. You're one of my favorite fans on Facebook.
Oh, bless your heart. I got to come see you, too.
Girl, come on to Florida.
I know, right? I'll be there soon enough. But let me put you on hold because I got to get the business stuff out the way.
Okay.
Oh, this has been an awesome time. Rodney, thank you so much for calling in. Do you have anything, 30 seconds, you want to leave? Go.
Thank you for having me. Again, I just reiterate the thoughts of your friend. I am so proud of you. I think what you're doing is awesome, and I look to so many more courageous conversations coming from Miss Tony.
Oh, thank you, sweet pea. Thank you so much. See, everybody, pay attention. When I give you 30 seconds, you do it in 17. You hear? Okay. You just ride out the rest of this with me, okay? Rodney, just
Absolutely.
Stay right there. And when it hangs up, you just say, bless God, amen.
All right.
But everybody, thank you so much. You have been listening to Coffee, Tea, and Conversation with Miss Tony. I am your host, Miss Tony, and we are all celebrating and chatting on Cheryl's World. Hey, I am looking for a city to come to. I'm looking for a coffee shop to do this
segment live, the Coffee, Tea, and Conversation live, someplace at a coffee shop. If you know someplace that's amenable to it, I don't care what city you're in, let me know. Hit me an email at info@trueharmony.net. That's info@trueharmony.net. Conversation is going to be about the Affordable Health Care Act. I'm scared. But, yes, there will be a civil discourse around that. We will be civil, people. We will be civil. When you call in to me to talk about this, we will act like we have some sense and have a civil discourse around it. December 13th, we are going to have a Power Down Friday, which is called the Great Cookie Swap. Please bring about a dozen cookies purchased or made to share. This will be a fun time for everybody. Fellas, you can come too. There will be facials. Michelle Johnson is going to come and bring her chair so you all can get chair massages with some hot cocoa and some hot cider. And the cost is a $5 donation. Come on now. Where are you going to do all of that for $5 at 1550 South State Street here in Chicago, Illinois, called the Daystar Center? Again, it is not too late. You can sign up for the She Shines Wellness 10-Day Eating Challenge. Go to SheShinesWellness.com, and it's only $19. Try to do that. Let's see, 24 Days of Giving. Starting tomorrow, we're going to do 24 Days of Giving where we will do something nice, something little to no cost at all for sharing. Be looking out on my wall for that. I hope that within the time that was ours that you were inspired to act, encouraged to keep moving, and blessed within your spirit. This has been Coffee, Tea, and Conversation with Miss Tony on Cheryl's World. I remain Miss Tony. Be true to you. Have a nice day.
Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. This I tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other. Love and marriage, love and marriage, it's an institute you can't disparage. Ask the local gentry, and they will say it's elementary. Try to separate them, it's an illusion. Try, and you will only come to this conclusion. Love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. Dad was told by mother, you can't have one, you can't have none, you can't have one without the other. Separate them, it's an illusion. Try, and you will only come to this conclusion. Love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. Dad was told by mother, you can't have one. You can't have one. one with